have one of the greatest stories ever told in the Bible that teaches us about inclusion. Peter learns an extremely valuable lesson in today's passage, which will go on to change the face of the early church, both literally and figuratively. Let me summarize. Peter is up on a roof of a home resting. He's waiting for a meal that's being prepared below down in the house. It's not unusual to find people on a roof, since that is where one would catch the cool breezes of the day, because the inside of the house while cooking would be extremely hot. So it would be appropriate to ask your guests to have a seat upstairs. And while Peter is waiting, he has a vision. And in this vision, Peter sees a sheet come down to the rooftop containing all sorts of animals. Peter is told to rise and eat these animals, yet Peter refuses. He states that these animals are unclean, therefore he cannot eat them. Nothing unclean has ever passed his lips. Where did Peter get this idea that they were unclean? For Peter, what is clean and unclean is completely written out for the Jewish people in the Talmud, in the law. The passages dictate, let me give you a sample of one of the passages from the book of Leviticus. Any animal that has divided hooves and is cleft-footed and chews its cud, you may eat. But among those that chews their cud or have the divided hooves, you shall not eat the following: the camel. For even though it chooses its cud, it does not have divided hooves, and therefore is unclean to you. The rock badger. For even though it chews its cud, it does not have divided hooves, so it too is unclean to you. It is very extensive in the law, describing exactly what animals are clean and what are unclean. So Peter wasn't making up this information that the things he was seeing in the sheet as unclean. As that picture would show you, a hippopotamus, a snake, a giraffe, these things, by the definitions in the law, would be unclean. Yet Peter is told in the vision, what God has made clean, you must not call unclean or profane. God is changing the definition of clean and unclean to saying that everything that God makes is clean. Peter is not to judge what is clean or unclean. This is what the vision was teaching Peter. So Peter goes off to the house of Cornelius, who is a Gentile, and he must put his new knowledge, this new learning, into place. For you see, by law, a Jewish man may not enter into the house of a Gentile. He'd be entering the house of one who was considered unclean by Jewish law. Cornelius even comes out to greet Peter because he knows that Peter really can't come in. Yet Peter has learned a new lesson by the sheet that was dropped 3 times to show him these animals. And he realizes the lesson that he learned was in preparation for just that moment. It was a lesson to him, given him just in time for him to go off to Cornelius' house. For he enters Cornelius' house, he begins to teach the people about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit enters them. And they too come to believe in Jesus the Christ. They too, Cornelius and his whole household, the scriptures tell us, believed and were baptized. This event changes the face of the early church forever. No longer would the church, which we knew at that time as the way, would it be an exclusive church, welcoming only the Jew. It became a church that would welcome everyone. And no, it didn't happen overnight. It took some people a little longer to learn this lesson than it took Peter. Both Peter and Paul would spend many times standing before the Council of Jerusalem, the first church council, and would be fighting for the rights of the Gentile people. Sound familiar? They were fighting that the Gentile people would be included in the fellowship of believers without an extra criteria imposed upon them. I've heard those extra criteria in my life. Well, if you're willing to give up your lesbian lifestyle, you're welcome to come back to church. But if you're not willing to give up your lesbian relationship, you're not welcome here any longer. Someone else decided the criteria which would say to me where you can and cannot go to church. If it hadn't been for Peter and Paul, the Christian church today would be a tiny subset of the Jewish community. So just as Peter learned a new lesson and took that lesson to the world, what are we showing the world? We have seen this type of discrimination in our own recent past. Would you put down the next slide, please? There are many who would look at us. You all can't see it. We've got a hammock with LGBT in it, who would consider this to be people who are unclean. There are people still in this country and in many places throughout the world where if you are an LGBT person, you are considered unclean, an abomination. You're sinful, you're abnormal, you're unlawful, and many other words I'd rather not use here in church. We as a people have worked for years to obtain our equal rights. And while we can marry, and from what I understand, the House has passed the equality bill, so we're part of the way there of getting it all done, we continue to fight and speak out for our own rights so that we can work where we want, so we can live where we want, so that when we go into a business and want to order ourselves a wedding cake, we'll be able to get that cake or whatever else we need. Yet, we still have other sheets in our lives and sheets that are present in our own community. The next sheet, please. Bisexual and transgendered. This sheet of judging still exists. We of the lesbian and gay community perpetuate this judgment, and it exists right here in this church. No bisexual person should have to explain their life choices to anyone else. No bisexual female should hear from one of us that they should not date a man because there are plenty of females in the congregation. They're bisexual. They're not lesbians. They're not looking just for another woman in their life. They're looking for their soulmate, whether it is male or female. Those things that are said like, you don't have to date that man, you can date one of the females in church, is said through ignorance. Ignorance of what it means to be bisexual. For a bisexual person is not trying to connect with just a particular sex, but they are connecting with an individual regardless of their sex. A bisexual person is going to fall in like and in love where their heart leads them. Sometimes it will be the same sex person, and sometimes it would be an opposite sex person. If you were to ask a bisexual who would have the courage to come out in this environment about their attraction to others, they would tell you that they are attracted by something in the individual and not by their sexual parts. And when you're shaking your head and trying to, with all your might, try to figure this out, how can a person love another person of the same sex one time and an opposite sex another time? Stop trying to figure it out. There's nothing for you to figure out. You don't have to figure it out. Just accept it. Just accept who they are. Just accept who they are with. Just accept that bisexuals will go where their hearts lead them. Again, church, what are we showing the world when it comes to our trans community? I am so thrilled that I am in a church with people who are accepting of the trans community, and that the trans community can find a safe place here in this church. And you're probably thinking, well, Reverend Lori, isn't that the same place all over in MCC? No. At one point, I was a part of an MCC church that if you were trans, you better go ahead and run now. before people get to you. And now we're talking, okay, I've been around MCC for over 30 years now, so we're talking a good 20 years or more ago. There was a church in which I was involved in which a trans person, if they lasted more than 1 week, that was a surprise. But that was, again, through ignorance, because people didn't understand what it meant to be trans, as if they had to figure it all out. We repeated some of the same stuff that heterosexual community was saying. How can they change sex? If they're born a woman, they're a woman. If they're born a man, they're a man. The concept of bringing mind and body and soul together is so complex. It is beyond our understanding. Even doctors and therapists don't have all the answers. So why do you think we should have all the answers? Accept the person as they present themselves. It is 2019, and I still have people saying to me, what do I call him or her? By now, I shouldn't have to be telling folks. Ask them. Ask them what their name is. Ask them how they wish to be addressed. Ask them what their pronouns are. It's not a secret. They'll be glad to tell you. If they come identified as a woman, treat them as a woman. If they come identifying as a man, treat them as a man. If they identify as non-conforming, non-binary, and don't even try to go figuring them, use the terms they and them. Use what they want to be called. You don't have to understand it. Just deal with the individual as they present themselves, not as we want to see them, but as they see themselves. And yes, I know, we all slip once in a while and get the wrong pronoun. I still slip every once in a while with Seth. And I apologize and I move on and I don't make a big dramatic case about it. And Seth is always very understanding and gracious. But I believe we can't expect the world to be accepting of our lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and gay community until we fully embrace all of our community, every bit of our community. If we claim to be the brothers and sisters of the trans community, that means we're treating all people, including trans people, with authenticity and wholeness. So I ask you again, what are you showing the world? This is what it meant when Jesus says, God loves us, so we should love others. If Peter could learn to treat all people without partiality or discrimination when it came to the church, why can't we learn to treat all people in our community as they wish to be treated? God loves us. There isn't any condition on this. I'm sorry, but I can't find a passage in my Bible that says, I will love you if you marry an opposite sex person. There isn't a passage that says you have to give up being who you are for God to love you. Now, God does look at our spirits and our souls and hopes that we will grow in our relationship with God. But God's not looking for us to have to change our fundamental us. God loves us just as we are. And therefore, we are to love others just as they are. God loves us by God's standards. Whoops, God's standards. God's standard is to love without exception, to love without condition, to love without expecting the other person to conform to our way of thinking and being. Church, I call upon all of us to accept all of our brothers and sisters just as they are, whether they're lesbian or gay, bisexual, transgender, non-conforming, non-binary, allies, leathermen, bears, butch, femmes, etc., etc., etc. No one should be told that they can't live their life as they think it's authentically to live it. So go beyond what is acceptance. Go beyond to embracing and love them as God has loved you. Amen.